The software world is being flooded with open source product. In fact, the federal government has an open source first policy. But maybe it's time to stop and think about the sources of open source. Where does all that code originate? The software supply chain, that's something Derek Weeks looks at carefully. He's the vice president and DevOps advocate at Sonatype. Derek, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom.
So what is the supply chain for software? Because it sounds like a manufacturing term, and I guess maybe software is manufactured.
Yeah. In fact, software, the way software is developed has changed over the years. Because open source has become much more prevalent over time. Developers are using more and more components. Look at these like parts that you're using to build products or parts that you're using to build software. And the use of those components has grown exponentially over the last couple of years.
Organizations like federal agencies that are flocking to this, what are some of the things they have to worry about with open source and open code?
When you're using open source components or parts to develop your applications that you're building for any particular government systems or services, you not only need to look at, hey, we're able to use parts to accelerate the development that we're doing and actually improve the innovativeness of the development that we're doing, but you have to also look at the quality of those parts that you're using in your products. You want to make sure that you're using the latest and greatest versions. You want to make sure that you're not using any risky license types for those components that may force you to reveal your source code to any of the particular users in the community out there. And you also want to make sure that those components are free of known security vulnerabilities or defects. So it's not only we want to use more parts to accelerate innovation, but we want to make sure that we're using the best component parts out there.
Now, the federal government recently came out with the idea that 20% of the code that it is using that's open source, it wants to be in the open source market. Describe more about the licensing issues that might be involved there.
Well, I think it's important to recognize that the government, as with all industry, private or public sector, are using a massive amount of open source components within the software that they're building. Today, 80 or 90% of a typical application is already open source. So this drive to use more open source components or technologies in the applications that government, either government agencies or contractors are building, that is all predominantly open source or built with open source components today. So government is, and other parts of industry are already down this path, and they simply need to, I think, be more aware of it, which is why one of the main reasons why we published the 2016 State of the Software Supply Chain Report.
So that means that if the government develops an application, by definition, it's publicly held. They have to make sure that the components they use in an agency is available for publicly posting.
Yes, absolutely.
And you mentioned the state of the software supply chain. What is the state of the software supply chain these days?
Well, one, it's very, very active. What we did in the State of Software Supply Chain report this year was we measured some of the open source component consumption around the world. We looked at 3,000 different organizations around the world. We analyzed 25,000 applications to understand what kind of parts they were using. At Sonatype, we actually manage something called the Central Repository. This is the largest source of Java open source components available in the world. In the report, we show that in 2015, 31 billion open source components were requested by developers for use in building their applications. In the previous year's report, that number was 17 billion. There's only a population of 10 million developers or so in the world that are requesting these. So you see this huge volume of consumption happening. But for an individual organization, what we saw was the average consumption in those organizations was just over a quarter of a million components being consumed by a typical or average organization.
So lots of cupcakes being made from the same sugar, flour, butter, and flavoring.
Absolutely. So components, the great thing about components is if I develop an encryption library, for instance, I can put that out on the internet in one of the public repositories and make it available to any development organizations around the world that want to use it. And that might say, if I'm an expert in encryption, that means I can lend my expertise to development organizations around the world to make these things freely available.
We're speaking with Derek Weeks, Vice President and DevOps Advocate at Sonatype. And let's talk about the security for a moment. I mean, suppose there are 31 billion requests for components and a couple of hundred million actually in place. What if some of them come from Russia or China or places like that where there could be malware programmed into them?
Certainly. There are many components that are available in these public repositories. Many, you could say, are of unknown origin or quality. But within these components, there's actually a lot of security research that's done on these components to tell us and to keep track of which ones have a known vulnerability in them. The open source projects that supply them can actually update and repair these components and release new versions of those components to the community to use safer versions of those. One of the things that we saw in this year's report was of all the billions and billions of downloads that we saw in 2015, one in 16 of those components had a known vulnerability. And a known vulnerability means this is documented, it's established and documented and verified, the information's available on the internet about the security vulnerability. This isn't an unknown thing like someone, put some flawed code in that you have to search for. Someone has already searched and found and documented these known vulnerabilities in the components. But we need to make sure that as people are consuming these, that they're also vetting the quality of those. We can't imagine any other industry operating where 1 in 16 of their parts that they're using in their product have a known defect.
And so people looking for open source components, say they go to GitHub or one of these popular places, or maybe even Sonatype, how do you know that you're getting bona fide, good housekeeping, seal of approval type of components?
I think what's good to one organization might be bad to another organization. What you want to make sure is that you follow some good practices within your organization. One is, your organization needs to have policies in place on what's considered good and what's considered bad. Using components with known vulnerabilities, can be qualified as using bad components. Using risky license types can be another way to define those bad components. But you also need to pursue practices like we're seeing in a number of different government agencies where they're creating a software bill of materials or looking at what components or verifying what components are used in their software. They're looking at practices of maintaining good hygiene of the components that's in there. What do we know about these components, and are we using the latest, most secure versions of those? And then do we have practices to track and trace those over time? If a new vulnerability comes out tomorrow, like the OpenSSL Heartbleed vulnerability, did we ever use a component that had that, did we ever use a vulnerable version of that component? And if so, where did we use it in our portfolio? These are kind of common practices that organizations can use to build better software.
Derek Weeks is Vice President and DevOps Advocate at Sonatype. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.